Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
Well, we're going to continue today with part two of the series that we started last week called A Day in the Life of Jesus. And really for a few weeks, just wanting to focus on the person of Jesus and in particular his ministry. You know, we see that wherever Jesus went, he touched the lives of so many people in such a profound way. We see that he healed sick people. He provided for those who had lack. He had great compassion on those who were hurting. The Bible says that he restored people who were broken. And occasionally, he even raised dead people to life. Everywhere he went, he had a life-changing impact and influence. And, you know, the good news for us today, 2,000 years later, is that Jesus is still the same today as he was back then. And all those things he did, he still does in the lives of people today. A man by the name of Jacob Davis was a tailor in the 1800s in the American West at the time of the gold rush. And he had a whole lot of miners who kept coming to him because their pants were always wearing out. And so he came up with a solution. He went to a local dry goods supplier, a man by the name of Levi Strauss, and he purchased some tent cloth from him. And he made work pants from that heavy, sturdy material. And there you go, blue jeans were born. But, you know, today denim jeans obviously come in different shapes and styles and sizes. And they're probably one of the most popular items of clothing in the world today, all because tent material was given a new purpose. You know, today I want to read from the book of Luke in a few moments, an account in the Bible of a guy called Simon, who later became known as Peter, the great disciple, who encountered Jesus and his life was radically changed, but he was also given a new purpose for his life. The Bible says in Luke chapter 5, verse 1, that one day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. I love the fact that there was a hunger for the word, there was an expectation, and I pray in your home today that you too have an expectation of meeting Jesus through the word. Verse 2 says of Jesus that he noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and he taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets again." And this time, their nets were so full of fish, the Bible says, that they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were full with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me, I'm such a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they caught, as were the others with him. You know, I love here that when we recognize the power and the greatness of Jesus, we also realize how unworthy we are of his grace, and yet the Lord continues to reach out to us. Verse 10 then says that his partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. And Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and they followed Jesus. Here is a story of the Lord's miraculous provision, but also an account of Jesus taking an ordinary, uneducated fisherman, changing his life and filling him with divine purpose. And so I want to share just a few thoughts today to encourage you in your home from this passage of Scripture. Firstly, we see that Jesus desires to fill empty boats. You know, verse 2 tells us that Jesus noticed the empty boats on the side of the shore there. And this really was evidence to Jesus that it was not a good night's work for these fishermen. You know, if you were to walk along the shores of Galilee in the early morning like Jesus did, you would expect to see something in the boats that represented the fruit of the catch of the night before. But clearly for these fishermen, it had been a tough night. Probably a tough season of life. They had worked hard. They'd fished all night. They were tired. They were discouraged. And they had nothing to show for their work. And what that meant for them was that there would be no further income for that day. And as a result, they would probably not be able to meet their needs. But Jesus shows up and immediately things begin to change. You know, it's interesting that Jesus put something in the boat, but it's not what we'd expect. He doesn't put food in the boat. He doesn't put fish in the boat. He doesn't put money in the boat. The very first thing he puts in the boat is actually himself. He gets into Peter's boat. And here we see that Jesus begins to move into Peter's life. And I think by getting in the boat first, he's beginning to show to Peter that he is actually the provider and that everything else that would come from this boat, that being the fish that he would later catch, would only come because Jesus himself was first in Peter's boat. And I wonder today in this season of lockdown, what is there that is empty in your life? What are you lacking in your life? You know, the good news for us as believers is that the Lord desires to fill your life and your boat with good things. But before he puts anything in the boat, he first wants to be the one himself that is given permission to be in the boat of our lives. Then we also see that Jesus rewards those who make available to him what they possess. You know, we see that Jesus asks Peter to use his boat, but he also asks Peter to give him a push out into the water. And so two things Jesus is asking of Peter. He's asking for his resource here, but he's also asking for his effort. And I love the fact that Peter doesn't argue with Jesus. We don't see that there was any resistance from Peter. In fact, I think Peter saw it as a massive privilege that Jesus was wanting to preach from his boat. And bearing in mind that in the chapter before this, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus actually came to Peter's house and he healed Peter's mother-in-law of a fever. But Peter wasn't yet a follower of Jesus. But, you know, I've often thought about that passage. Imagine if Peter said no. When Jesus asked for the boat, Peter said, no, Lord, you can't have my boat. It's my boat. I'm not going to give it to you. No one's going to get my boat. Well, guess what? We wouldn't have been reading about Peter as we do in the scriptures today. He would never have become this great man of God, the great disciple, if he said no to Jesus. And I think the reality is that many people are reluctant to release to the Lord that which he requires to build his kingdom. You know, I've got four kids, and sometimes when I ask them to do something or I ask for something from them, they give me one of three responses. Sometimes they will give me a big sigh. Oh. Other times they'll give a big groan. Oh, Dad. And then there's other times where they just give me a bit of a roll of the eyes, and that's never a good time. But I think sometimes that's how people respond to Jesus. They sigh inwardly or outwardly when he asks something of them. Others groan inwardly. And then there are those who perhaps even roll their eyes at the Lord. But if you look throughout Scripture, most miracles that took place in the life of a person when they were first willing to release something to the Lord. Because whenever we release something to Jesus, he always rewards us as a result of that. The great Charles Spurgeon said that whenever he, that being the Lord, borrows, he pays good interest for the loan. Christ will not be in even a boatman's debt. For every cup of cold water given to his disciples in his name, the master will take care to pay. Then thirdly, we see that our lives get stronger when our faith goes deeper. When Jesus had finished preaching in the boat, he then says to Peter, he says, I want you to now go deeper and I want you to let down your nets. See, Jesus has now come into Peter's life, but now that he's got a foot in his life, now he begins to test Peter's faith. And so he asks him to go further than he's gone before. He asks him to go beyond what is normally comfortable for him and really to a place that he doesn't normally go. And it's only when we go beyond what is comfortable that we begin to grow in our faith and we begin to learn to trust the Lord fully. And the truth is that Jesus calls all of us to go deeper. You know, he calls all of us to let go of our own ability so that we can rely on his grace. He calls us to let go of our own logic so that we can experience his wisdom. And he calls us to release control of our lives effectively so that we can give him permission to steer the path for us. You know, living in Durban, yeah, we often go down to the beach, except in lockdown, we're not allowed to go down to the beach now. But you know, often you see people splashing on the seashore there and they're only ankle deep in the water and they splash and they laugh and they make a noise. And then afterwards, they'll come home and tell you what a great day they had swimming in the sea. But the truth is they were only ever ankle deep. And I think sometimes for many Christians, it's like that. We have lots of fun and we make a lot of noise, but we never go into the deep waters that the Lord calls us to. We are happy in the comfort of just splashing in ankle deep water. You know, my four kids, I've taught them all to swim when they were younger, and I'm glad that they're all beyond the age now where they can swim on their own. But I remember with each and every one of them, when I tried to teach them to swim, I had to coerce them to come off the step, because they used to stand on the step there in the shallow end, and they'd splash around and they'd tell me, "Dad, look, we're swimming." But there came a time for all of them when I had to say, "Okay, you need to come off the step now, and you need to come into the deeper waters." And this was not something that they liked. They would all say to me, "Dad, we're scared. Dad, what if we drown? Dad, what if we sink?" And whatever their response to me was, I had to reassure them, "You won't sink, you won't drown, you won't die." Why? Because I am here to support you and hold you as you come into deeper waters. And you know, the Bible says in Isaiah 43 verse 2, the Lord says, "When you pass through the deep waters, I will be with you." You know, I think many people view this story of this encounter of Jesus and Peter from the perspective that Jesus is on the shore, Peter's out in the boat, and Jesus is kind of saying, "Go deeper, Peter. No, a little bit more. Yeah, yeah, keep going. Yeah, go a bit further." But I don't think that's what happened. Remember, Jesus was preaching in the boat, and there's nothing in the scriptures to say that he got out the boat. So we have to assume that Jesus was in the boat with Peter when Peter went out to the deep waters. And you know, I can imagine Jesus would have been cheering Peter on. He would have been encouraging him, because that's what he does for us when we step out into the deep waters. The Lord will never call us to where his grace cannot sustain us. Another thing we see is that breakthrough comes when Jesus directs our work. You know, Peter's first response to Jesus when he was asked to go into the deep waters was to say, "Master, we worked hard all night, but we caught nothing." Now, you have to remember, Peter was a professional fisherman. This is what he did for a living. Peter wasn't an occasional fisherman. He didn't just fish for a hobby. This was his livelihood. Peter fished for a living. Jesus, on the other hand, he was a carpenter. He might have been an occasional or a part-time fisherman. So Peter knew three things about fishing. He knew how to fish. He also knew where to fish, that being in the shallower waters of the Sea of Galilee. And he also knew when to fish, that being at nighttime, when the fish were more likely to come to the surface of the water. But now Jesus is asking Peter to fish somewhere else, in a different place, that which wasn't normal. And really, Peter, I mean, he doesn't verbalize it, but I can imagine he was thinking, "This is crazy. It is illogical what this carpenter is asking me. It doesn't make any sense." Bear in mind also, he was tired. The Bible said they'd worked hard all night and caught nothing. They were incredibly discouraged. But I love the next few words that Peter utters. He says, "Lord, if you say so." And the moment Peter verbalized those words, he gave Jesus permission to direct his work, and things begin to happen very quickly. You know, I think in our work and our business and what you do, you know, for your work or business, it's very easy for us to get so caught up in what we want. We want our way. It's my ideas. It's my strategy. It's my agenda. It's my logic. It's my empire I'm building. But unfortunately, when you build your work or your business that way, eventually you will end up with an empty boat one day. You know, I think this season of lockdown has unfortunately revealed many empty boats. Many of you are in the place where you're saying, "Well, there's nothing in my boat." You've got nothing to show for your work. And perhaps it's simply because you haven't been able to go to work, or your work time has been limited and restricted at the moment. But the moment you let Jesus direct your work, you let him take charge and you make him the director of your business, everything begins to change. You know, that word that Peter uses to address Jesus there, he refers to him as master. It's the Greek word epistata in the New Testament, and it means three things. It means commander, it means leader, and it also infers boss. And Peter basically saying to Jesus, "I'm no longer the leader or the commander of my work. I am now making you the leader. You are now the boss of my business." And you know, when you give Jesus directorship of your work and your business, He fills you with fresh ideas. He gives you new creativity. He gives you a different strategy. You approach your work very differently. And, you know, the sad reality is that in this season of life, there are going to be many businesses that unfortunately won't make it through to the next season. However, on the other side, there will be many businesses that will thrive in this season. And I believe those businesses are the one where Jesus is given directorship and ownership of that business. You know, I think in the season of lockdown, the season of uncertainty, I think for many of you, the Lord is saying it's time to go fishing in the deep waters. It's an opportunity to do new things, to do different things, to think differently. And when you make Jesus Lord of your life, when you let Him direct your work, you will see results, you will see increase, and you will also see abundance. Can you say amen in your home? Wonderful. Another thing we see here is that success can sink us if we don't share it with others. You know, once Peter gives control of his boat and his business to Jesus, the Bible says the nets begin to tear from the catch of fish. It is a ridiculous, miraculous catch of fish. It is something unbelievable that is taking place. And for Peter, he's never seen this many fish in his life before. In all his years of fishing, it's the biggest catch of his life. And I can imagine Peter jumping up and down in that boat. And it was such a big catch that the Bible says his boat started sinking and he had to call James and John with their boat to come help him so that he could offload some of this fish. And, you know, what we really see here is that Peter invites the others to share in his success. You know, I think for many people, success ends up being their downfall because they try to hold on too tightly to what they've had. They forget that they are not the source of what they have. In this case, Peter knew he wasn't the source of that miraculous catch. Jesus was, and he knew if I don't share what I've got with others, the boat will sink and I will go down along with my success. You know, I read earlier this week of a man whose name was the Reverend James McGreedy. He was a Presbyterian minister and a revivalist in the Second Great Awakening in the United States. And in the state of Kentucky where he lived in the late 1700s, he pastored three small churches. They were very small. Each congregation met in a broken down shack. And he became so desperate for revival in his state. He says it was a time where it was like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, where people were godless, they were lawless. It was a terrible time and a terrible place to live. And every Saturday evening, he gathered his congregation for half an hour to pray for revival. Every Sunday morning before the service, for half an hour, they'd pray again. And what he found that after a little while, revival began to break out. It was known as the Second Spiritual Awakening in America. People began to flock into these three small churches of his, hundreds and hundreds of people. Very quickly, he realized there's no ways he can actually fit all these people in. But rather than being greedy and claiming credit for all this, he uttered this call to all the preachers in the state. He said, "Any preacher of any kind who loves the Lord, come and help me and be part of the success here." And I think that's a great way to live. It's so easy to hold so tightly onto what we have, especially when we're successful. But our success can end up sinking us if we don't learn to share what God has done in our lives with others. Then we also see here that Jesus changed Peter's ordinary work into life-giving purpose. Jesus says to Peter, "From now on, you're going to be fishing for people." You know, I think the previous evening when Peter had gone out to work, you know, as it got dark, he would have had maybe the approach that so many others have to their work, and that being the approach of another day, another dollar, another day to go out and grind away. But that next morning when he went home a completely changed man, and also he was now living with God-given purpose. And, you know, purpose always comes into our life when we relinquish control of our lives. When we say to the Lord, "Lord, it's not my life any longer. My life now belongs to you." God fills your life with purpose. And when you live with purpose, everything about life changes. Your outlook on life changes, your perspective on God, on people. You no longer live a meaningless, mundane existence. How you work changes, and very often what you do changes as well. You know, again, I think some people are reluctant to step into God's purpose for their life because they're perhaps scared, or, you know, maybe they feel, oh, is God going to make me boring if I step into purpose? You know, is God going to take away all my fun? You know, is God maybe going to send me to Mongolia or China as a missionary? Is God going to make me go into full-time ministry? But, you know, for some people, when God gives you purpose, He does change what you do. He does change your job. You know, for me, I used to be a travel agent in my past life, and God called me out of that industry and into the ministry. But for most people, God doesn't necessarily change what you do. He takes you where you are, as you are. He changes your heart, but then He changes your direction and your approach to life. So very often what you've already become good at doing, those same principles are then used for, to help you fulfill your purpose in life. And, you know, with Peter, we see here that the Lord says, I want you to keep on fishing. Just now, instead of fishing for fish, you're actually going to start fishing for people. The same principles apply, except you are now fishing with purpose and you are fishing for a cause that is greater than yourself. Up until now, you've just been fishing to meet your own needs, but now you are fishing for the cause of Christ. As I was preparing this week, I kept having this question coming through my head, and the question was this: I wonder how many fish were in the boat that day. It certainly wasn't just a few fish. These were not small fishing boats. They were big fishing boats. Two of them were filled up and the net was full. And I wonder perhaps whether there weren't 3,000 fish that were in those boats. You say, well, why 3,000? Well, perhaps 3,000 being one fish for each person that would get saved later in the book of Acts when Peter preached his first sermon. Bible says in Acts 2:41 that when Peter preached, 3,000 people were added to the kingdom that day. And, you know, we see here that when Peter was fishing in the natural, he was fishing for live fish that would one day be dead. Later, when he's fishing for men, he fishes for dead souls who would one day be made alive through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, don't just go through the motions of what you do. Fish with purpose, because God will use you to add people to His kingdom. Let me give you one more thought, and I hope this has encouraged you today. We must leave our old life behind to follow Jesus. The Bible says of Peter and his friends that they left everything behind to follow Jesus. But you know what's interesting is just before they left everything behind, they had the biggest catch of their life. This was the greatest success they had had in business. All those fish that they caught, that would have represented a serious amount of money. They would have become big deals in the fishing business that day. It was the height of their business success. And yet the Bible says the moment those boats landed on the shore, they left everything behind. They didn't first go try, sell all that stuff, get some money, and then follow Jesus. There's no indication in Scripture that they first took a whole lot of fish with them so that they would have provision for the way. They left everything behind because all that represented who they were. They were changed men now. They now had purpose, and that purpose was to follow Jesus wholeheartedly. You know, effectively what they did by leaving everything behind was they said to the Lord, I'm placing my full trust in your hands. I think many people want to follow Jesus, but they want to follow him conditionally. Many are still holding on to their past life, holding on to old friends and old acquaintances and old habits and trying to sort all their issues out before they fully commit to the Lord. But you and I have to learn to leave everything behind that will prevent us from following Jesus wholeheartedly. You know, with regards to Peter and the other new disciples that day, they left all behind to respond to the call of Christ. And as a result, they became champions for the cause of Christ. As we finish up, I want to just share a quick story with you. There was a Spanish explorer by the name of Hernando Cortes, and in 1519, he landed on the coast of Mexico with one intent of conquering this land. And to assure the devotion of his men, what he did was he burnt up the 11 ships in his fleet that had landed on the coast of Mexico so that he would have no way possible of going back home. He was making a new start. He was moving forward with his life, and he removed any opportunity and any possibility of going back. He understood the price of commitment, and he was willing to pay it.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.